Welcome to the Top Order Podcast. It's the Top Order Podcast boys sitting here just a few kilometres away from Hagley Oval, ready for day three of the New Zealand-Australia test match, which of course we'll cover in your feed as the game unfolds over the next, hopefully, couple of days from a Black Caps perspective. But we're here today to talk a little bit about the damp squib from an England perspective that's ended their series in India in Dharamshala, all coming up on the Top Order Podcast. Stay tuned. Well, boys, we're sitting here, look, let's be honest, ever so slightly in need of a bit of hydration after a few beverages after the test match last night and some famous Christchurch souvlaki for dinner. So a massive shout out. Where did we go? What was the name of the place?
Dimitri's
souvlaki. So, yeah, make sure you get extra napkins is my top tip. But very pleasant. Souvlaki down on the riverside in Christchurch City last night, which was buzzing, wasn't it? The city centre.
Yeah, very good. Straight after the game.
Last night after the game. But we'll talk, obviously, a lot more about New Zealand-Australia, the game, obviously, in the balance coming into day three. But overnight, we have had the conclusion of the series in India, in Dharamsala, where, not surprisingly, I guess, and I suppose that a precursor to probably some of my comments, not surprisingly, India have won that game by an innings and 64 spin again being sublime from the Indians and England's batting not being up to scratch and India's being very, very good and putting the right kind of score on the board on what have been very good wickets throughout the course of this this series. But yeah, Lippy, I might throw to you first. Your thoughts on the day's play yesterday, the third day of the test match, an extra day's golf for the England boys if they managed to get their flights back to Abu Dhabi quickly enough?
Look, I mean, I think there's no surprises about how yesterday went. I mean, as soon as India piled on the runs, as we talked about on day two, it was always the test match was always probably going to end this way. The way that India's spinners have kind of grown throughout this series, Kuldeep's been so important for what they've done, and Ashwin goes and gets a fiver on his milestone performance. So very, very nice, I guess, from an Indian point of view. You mentioned golf and things like that, and there's been a lot of positivity, I suppose, around the English camp, even sort of during this. They obviously started very well. The series has, at least from a results point of view, got worse for them. What do you think the feeling is, I guess, for you as a fan and also around the team? I feel like this loss in such a manner, convincing loss on paper, it does have to feel a bit deflating. I mean, I know they've been super positive throughout. I know I haven't actually seen their comments at the end of the day or at the end of the game, press conferences and things. They always want to put a really positive spin on things. But I do feel like the manner of this loss, at the heart of hearts, they must be a bit deflated about the way this has ended after such promising signs, which I think we'll talk about in more depth later.
Yeah, I probably take the not surprisingly, the opposing view. I think the boys have come out after the game, and particularly Ben Stokes has spoken and said, look, we've got to give credit to the Indian team. We've been completely outplayed by a class Indian outfit. I think probably when we actually forensically examine it, and we will do a more detailed wrap-up of both this series and the New Zealand-Australia series on This Week in Cricket with Raj in the room, hopefully, next week, where we might go through sort of players in a bit more detail, etc. But I think from an England perspective, those moments of hope were relatively fleeting. Yes, we had a performance where, we won a test match and there was a fantastic individual performance in that from Ollie Pope and then also from a couple of young spinners. And then we kind of got ourselves into a situation in the game where we were one session away from being one session away from, being able to exert some authority, I think. And I've stolen that phrase, I think, from Mr. Baldwin to my right. So I think probably that the media rhetoric is very, very different to actually how the team are feeling. Ultimately, nobody has won in India, a visiting team, for I think over 12 years now. So an expectation that we were going to be able to go and win a series there was pie in the sky. And I think, we're now 18 months or so into Ben Stokes and Brendan McCullum's reign in that leadership sort of setup for them. And ultimately, I think, we're always building to, you know, the next away Ashes, aren't we? That's the kind of, that's the England cycle. So I think what England have got to do is take some lessons from this tour. I don't think we're going to be able to necessarily go to India in 3 or 4 years' time or whenever the next time we go and have a much different narrative. It's still going to be tough to win there. And I think probably India has now become that frontier that is going to be the toughest for teams to go away. And I think it was probably, for me, level pegging from an England perspective between India and Australia being really, really tough places to win, a lot like it would be for most countries. I think India now sits just that much higher on that. On that summit to, you know, I think, you know, Australia's like, you know, landing on the moon and India is going to be like landing on Mars, I think, for visiting teams. And that's nothing to do with the pitches necessarily.
I think they've been super fair.
They've been absolutely superb, but they are very different to what you might encounter anywhere else. Very, very good batting wickets for the majority. But that if you've got someone with, you know, 500 test wickets now, a guy who bowls left arm spin at pace with Ravi Jadeja, and then a mystery spinner, a luxury spinner, whatever you want to call him in Kuldeep Yadav, and then about another 5 or 6 guys that probably could come in and do a similar job, Aksar or, you know, insert names here, that's the challenge. So I don't think there'll be too... I think they'll be disappointed, absolutely. And I think they'll be looking at their own individual performances and going, what do I need to do to get better? And if they aren't, they shouldn't be in this, you know, in this setup moving forward. But I'm not bummed about it, to be perfectly honest. Maybe I've just bought into the bullshit.
Look, I do want to kind of get to those Indian spinners, and I might come to you in a minute, Baldy, about the way that they've developed throughout that series. Because I think that, you know, credit, you've given them credit, Ben Stokes has given them credit. I think the spinners are a perfect way to kind of look at how India have grown throughout this series. But while we are on England, you know, you talked about the next kind of Ashes, there's a bit of looking forward always. Who do you think comes out of this series as kind of with question marks on them? You know, a lot of those players will be nailed on for their future as England players, but who are the real question marks for England now coming away from this series?
Yeah, so I've got two lists here, and I won't go through those two lists in full. But on the let's have a conversation list, I think at the moment is Ollie Pope, Johnny Bairstow, is Ben Foulkes, is Ollie Robinson, and is Jack Leach. So Pope, frenetic, needs to kind of, you know, not have a Red Bull before he goes out and bat, and he needs to find that method, I think, of getting himself started, because when he does, I think he's got the capability to be. Yeah, to be quality. He reminds me a little bit of a Mark Ramprakash, not in terms of his intensity, because I think Mark Ramprakash was really, really over intense, over concerned about a lot of other factors around him, and he just couldn't quite get that sort of mental preparation in the Test match arena. Average, I think, 29 in Test cricket, but still averaged 50 in first class cricket. Was playing till he was 41. It's different, but it's just that sort of he's not. You know, really kicking on, but he gets the odd little glimmer of a really big, you know, really big.
He makes
score.
You feel like he could change the game, yeah, which he obviously did.
Yeah, it's rocks and diamonds with him. Bairstow, 100 Test matches. I think a lot might depend on whether or not they see him taking the gloves in England, and that gives us that balance that we had in the Ashes, and that's why Foulkes is on that list as well. And there's also an emergence of a number of other wicketkeeper batters. Jack Leach, you know, has had a lot of injury worries, knee operation happening. You know, he's got Crohn's disease. He's, you know, he's had a concussion. He's had muscle tear. You know, he really has had an unfortunate run of injuries. And the emergence of the other two spinners, I think, probably goes, well, actually, can we look to the next guy? I think, you know, if he can get himself fit, he's the best, you know, the best option to play at home. But the most concerning one for me is Ollie Robinson. And I think when you're creating a culture that gives so much to you, so much freedom to you as a player, I think you have to take that that trust that you've been given and then get yourself in the best position to win games of cricket. And if there is any noise off field or any sort of perception that you're not quite buying into that culture and that attitude that's required, then look, I think that's, you know, that's got to be a question mark for him. By all reports, he's worked on his fitness. He's coming to this, and that's not the case. But that, you know, if I'm an England fan, That's probably my view, you know, from afar of his contribution on this this series. So, that's probably where I'd see things. And everybody else, I think, comes out with some credit from this series. But Ben Stokes had a quiet one with the bat. Yeah. But again, what we saw him bowling in this Test match, so that, you know, that bodes well for him being able to provide that balance and hopefully helps England when they next don the whites, which isn't till July, against the West Indies.
Yeah, and look, obviously a lot can change. I think, you know, when we do these wrap-ups of all these series, we're going to be thinking you want to have those bigger picture things, but then you think, okay, well, there's going to be, you know, an IPL, then a T20 World Cup, and then, like, people will get injured, people could be in and out of form in those tournaments. So, yeah, a lot can change. But it will be, I, from a neutral point of view, I'm fascinated to see how this England team develops in the home summer because – you know, we talked about even someone like Anderson, who the way that he's gone about things, and now he's kind of shown, I think, you know, getting his 700th Test wicket today, that he is very capable of being the best England seamer around,
and has played four games in this series as well. But look, I think that's been enough on England. I'm really, really keen to get Baldy's views on India and probably the batting to start with, Michael. Yashvi Jaiswal is player of the series, 700 runs in the series, 712, I think, Baldy, if you want the precise number there, if you're noting it down.
Thanks very much.
But also, you know, Baldy, I know you've enjoyed Sarfraz. We've all enjoyed Shubman Gill, Rohit Sharma. The list kind of goes on. But credit to the Indian batting unit throughout the course of this series.
Absolutely. And it's been a next man up mentality for India in that middle order because they've had injuries, they've had players in and out, they've had players unavailable. I mean, we talk about the personnel that India haven't been able to utilise in this series. Virat hasn't played a game. KL Rahul has missed most of, if not all, of the series. And there's been a carousel of middle order batters who've come into the side and played maybe one or two games, and almost all of them, except for maybe one exception, have given a tremendous account of themselves and contributed heavily towards India putting themselves in a commanding position. From an Indian point of view, the question that's been answered most succinctly and most resoundingly is whether or not Shubman Gill has a place at number three going forward when all of their players are available. And the answer to that question is now, undoubtedly, yes. He's got multiple hundreds in this series. I think he's got a 90 as well. He's looked fantastic. After that first test, when we were talking about Ollie Pope being the star and Shubman Gill having questions about his place in the team, he's turned that around completely. So there's lots to like about that Indian batting unit, least significantly, but probably most importantly for them is the amount of depth that they've got now and that they can count on in test matches to win them games.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, isn't it? You kind of you see all these players, and you know it's completely different. But you see them in the IPL, you see them in the white ball stuff, and that's a place where that India's been able to blood a lot of players and give players opportunities. And you think there's that depth there, you know, or you think it's there, but they've actually been able to go, well, we know it's there now because we've put them in these situations, and they're really delivered. And yeah, I think they've been tremendous, like you've said. Can we shift to spin now? I know I love talking about spin. Obviously, that's a big thing for me. But
can we give Jasprit a rap in this series? Because, you know, it has been overshadowed with the spin that we're about to talk about in this test because the spinners have been brilliant. But in this series, in series that, again, in India typically favour spin, and we've talked about spin a lot on both sides of the coin, he has been almost the best bowler, holeless bowlers throughout the course of the whole series. If you look at the
overall performance, a few of those spinners and Jasprit. I mean, today, you know, even today, like he's sort of the wickets that he got were finishing off the tail, but they're just amazing deliveries to kind of get those wickets. And he worked Crawley over at the start. And I think the way he kind of worked Crawley over at the start of that innings sort of made him more tentative against the spinners and ended up, you know, Ashwin gets him in the way he does. Spin.
Yeah, go on.
Spin.
Before we move on to spin, I just want to look at the two stats here.
Okay.
And that is Bumrah in the series, average of just under 17 and a strike rate of 32.
That's incredible, isn't it? In India,
a seam bowler
to have a strike rate of every six overs.
To have that set of stats in four games, so 19 wickets in four games, leading wicket taker in the series, not surprisingly, Ravi Ashwin, 26 wickets. But yeah, I think the fact that they've got someone of that quality has allowed them as well to play, you know, an attack that crams in. the spinners that they have, because he's just so good at, he's a three phase bowler, you know, or whatever that, new cliche is. He can bowl at the start, he can bowl in the middle, he can bowl at, bowl at the end. He's got all of those, all of those skills. But yes, let's talk about spin. This is actually obviously a spin podcast.
It is when you're outnumbered.
No, well, I mean, Bully and I were talking about this morning about imagine watching Bumrah bowl at Hagley on this pitch, the way that this Hagley pitch has had seam in it. And the way he's come back from his injury, it has been fantastic. And you want to put it in the context of the series. He held them together for those first couple of tests when I think the spinners probably would say they weren't up to their high standards. And England, I think you give England a bit of credit for that. What England did in this series that is a big positive for them, I think, is that they said to India, you're not going to beat us in the traditional way. Your spinners we're not going to let you just bowl to us. You've got this formula where you run in, favourable pitches. Like I said, these were not, unfair pitches, but they were, they were favourable to spin, which is what you expect when you go there. They said, we're not just going to go, okay, well, eventually there's a ball with our name on it. You're going to bowl to us and work us out. We're going to take it to you and actually say, you can't just run in and bowl,
50 balls in the same spot and we'll defend 49 of them and nick off.
Yeah. And it did put those spinners under pressure.
Yep.
But I think what you saw is that the class shines to the fore. It comes to the fore in the end. And Ashwin and, Kuldeep and Jadeja, they were able to, throughout the series, figure out a way to kind of take on that challenge from England, and actually, by the end of the series, figured out what they needed to do and then did it very, very effectively. And I think, the only one who started to look good against the spin by the end of the series was Joe Root, who's the class player of England's side. And by the end, those Indian spinners were really able to get on top and put the pressure back on the England side, which ultimately led to kind of the last three wins.
You're absolutely right. And what I loved about the Indian spinners in the last test and in this test in particular is they challenged both edges of the bat. We saw Kuldeep go past the outside edge to get a guy stumped. We saw him go past the inside edge to have another guy bowled. He was able to go and bowl the wrong end to get an LBW. And then in this innings, we've seen Ravi Ashwin beat the inside edge of the bat. We've seen him get one, with a bit of extra bounce, caught at deep square leg. And we've seen him bowl the undercutter to go through guys on the other side of the bat as well. So India have used all of their skills, all of their experience. And I think when you have a look at the difference between the spinners at the end of the day, it's not necessarily that Indian spinners were better than the England spinners necessarily, but they just had so much more experience in knowing the right balls to bowl in those situations, what's going to work for them. And they were able to challenge both edges of the bat. And once they started doing that, it became very, very difficult for England to dictate terms to those Indian bowlers.
Yeah, look, I'm not going to talk about spin. You guys do enough of that.
Probably, yep.
But I will link it to spin. And I think the thing that's been really, fantastic for me is that the quality of the spin that's been on show in this, and I include the England guys in this. We've got Tom Hartley, I think, second top wicket taker in the series. Okay, his average isn't there, but he's bowled the most overs as well, 250 overs.
Which has got to be great for his development,
which
right?
is absolutely great for his development and great, I think, for England as they move forward. But what this spin has done has allowed us to see some quality keeping throughout the course of this series as well. Six stumpings in the series, tell me the last time that's probably happened. You don't see it, a hell of a lot. Folks and Jarrell and Bharat actually kept pretty well, but batting was the thing that probably let him down a little bit. But it's allowed us to see something that we don't see a lot of in the game, which is keeper up to the stumps for long periods of the day. So it's been you guys have been able to froth a little bit, and so have I.
Yeah, I mean, Dhruv Jarrell caught one off a bowl today. like standing up, it's bowled the batter, and he's caught the ball off the bowl. I mean, he's a great looking wicketkeeper.
Yeah, not quite as good as folks, but yeah, he's looked good.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah, and look, maybe we end with a couple of sort of milestone-ish performances. I mean, Ashwin, great to see him take five in his 100th test. Ended up getting nine. I guess in a way, very unlucky not to get man of the match given to Kuldeep. I think fair enough, because I think the way that Kuldeep kind of destroyed that England first innings
in the first innings
set up the game, right?
Yep, absolutely,
that sets up the game. So I'm, you know, I'm down with that decision. But yeah, I think in you know, the stuff I was talking about, the way they developed throughout the series, I really think Ashwin is the best example of that, because I do think he wasn't at his best for those first couple of tests, and the way he was able to build and, yeah, by the end sort of have a plan, you know, much in the way that even, you know, like Nathan Lyon had a plan against New Zealand in that first test here. He had ways that, okay, now I know how I'm going to get you out, and I'm going to, you know, Bharat Sundaresan has called him a scientist, you know, a spin scientist before, and that's a perfect way to kind of sum up what Ashwin has kind of done in this series, has gone and, yeah, just picked apart the England batters by the end of it. And it did, you know, like I said, credit to England that it took him that long, I think, to go and do that. The other one I think we want to touch on, you said it yesterday, Binksy, you wanted to see Jimmy Anderson get his 700th wicket, and he went and did that overnight for us here in New Zealand. And, you know, maybe you do want to finish the pod with just a final word on Jimmy and, you know, hit that achievement and whatever else you want to say about Jimmy Anderson.
Yeah, look, the biggest thing I think we talk about is clearly and we've had this debate a lot, is the longevity versus obviously then the numbers that you're able to put up when you've got that longevity. I think the argument now around whether or not he's a great fast bowler needs to go away. He is. And, you know, regardless of, you know, all of the things that can be, you know, thrown at him, his average is a little bit higher than the likes of a McGrath or a Hazelwood who's coming through, or, you know, some of the guys from yesteryear as well. But to stay on the park for 180 odd test matches, to be able to get to 700 wickets, to have the lowest economy rate in this series of any bowler on either side, you know, and again, that isn't like, oh, well, we'll take an economy rate win. It's to say that he's developed a skill to be effective and to be able to play a role everywhere in the world. And he didn't have that early in his career. The best thing about him taking 700 in this test from an England perspective is it takes away some of the noise now, I think, around, you know, does he need one more wicket to get to that? And, you know, will he carry on? He can now, I think, just get named in the squad if he's, you know, he doesn't hang up the boots. And that little bit of noise has now gone away. And then we'll obviously have the noise about him going to past 708 at some point. And then everyone can probably just shut up.
Yeah.
But look, yeah, he's been fantastic over a very long period of time. And look, I'm glad that he was able to actually have a little bit of an impact on the series. 10 wickets, you know, in a series dominated by spin largely, you know, was a reasonable return for him. And I hope he's in an England shirt for as long as he buys into the culture and stays fit and stays effective. And look, who knows how long that will be.
He's still good in the field. Like, yeah, we watched him in the field in this Indian series, and he's throwing his body around. He's not like, he doesn't look like he's starting to lose a step in the field or anything like that. I mean, okay, he's not 20, but he's still got a lot to offer England cricket. And if I was one of those England fast bowlers, I'd want him in every test match that I was playing so that I can continue to learn from his greatness.
I think he showed he was their best seamer on the series. I don't think there's, you know, any question mark about that. And
there's no question about it. And look, I think if he wants to, there's a pretty good reason England haven't had a fast bowling coach on this tour. They don't need one when they've got him around. And I think a lot of the younger guys will talk about what he's, you know, what just being and observing, watching how he prepares and how he goes about his business has done to their game. I just hope they're continuing to listen to it and they put it into practice. Should we end the pod there? But look, credit to India. It's been a fantastic series performance. You know, you look at the runs list with Jaiswal and Gill and Sharma. You look at the wicket list with Bumrah and Kuldeep and Ravi Ashwin. It's been a forensic. It's almost been like a bloody autopsy. They have gone into.
I think that's a really good way to describe it. They have slowly picked India England apart after England gave them a bit of a challenge.
You're 100% right. To borrow an 80s wrestling phrase, it was a clinical dissection of England by India in this series.
Yeah, so good on them, and I can't look far past them to being another World Test Championship
final. Pretty hard to beat.
Yeah. All right. Well, look, it is. Good morning. God bless from us all here in. I was going to say Auckland, but we're in Christchurch, down in the South Island of New Zealand. We will be back in your podcast feed over the next couple of days to talk New Zealand, Australia, wrap up of that test match and the day's play probably tomorrow morning. The podcast will drop into your feeds. But now it is goodbye from us all here. We'll see you on the next edition of the Top Order Podcast. See you later.